Hey, Sam Crowley, welcome to the Sunday Spiritual Podcast. We talk about conflict in the church. What? Negotiating, conflict, resolution, and oh, gossip. It's a juicy show today, folks. Let's go!
Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the Everyday Saturday Podcast. My name's Sam Crowley, host of the show, and it is Sunday, so it is time for our Sunday Spiritual Podcast. And I was just telling our esteemed guest, Shane Harden, pastor of Branches Church, this is our most downloaded show now of all 7 days. Isn't that amazing, Shane, the value you've brought to the Everyday Saturday Podcast?
That's great, Sam. I'm glad someone's listening.
Yeah, it's amazing because God rested on the seventh day. And we're here working it up, man, and getting a lot of downloads. I think God would be proud of the amount of downloads on his day of quote-unquote rest, right?
He probably needs to check his iTunes account and see how that's doing for himself there.
Would Jesus have an iPhone if he were around today?
I think Jesus would use every bit of social media out there possible. When he told his guys to go and spread the word, I think he wants to get the maximum contagion, the biggest way that he can get out his story, and that would be through social media.
I can imagine the Twitter handle, at Jesus Christ.
At JC.
At JC.com. You think, more importantly, we'll move on to the show, deeper question, would he give this show a 5-star rating on iTunes?
You know, that'll be seen as this plays out as we keep going. I think as long as we're spreading his word and his message and we're being true to that, I think he would love it.
Okay. All right. Let's just keep our fingers crossed. Hypothetically, of course. This is the show where we turn water into wine, my friends, taking people from a perpetual Monday to the everyday is Saturday lifestyle. Shane just is shaking his head. Cannot believe he's in the same room. But he's a hostage, man, for the next 20, 30 minutes or so. It's Sam Crowley along with Shane Harden, pastor of Branches Church. And we're here to inspire you. Really, we have a lot of fun in the studio, which life is all about having fun. Shane, there's sometimes, though, in the corporate world, I didn't have a lot of fun. There's negotiations. There's conflict. There's personalities. You know, we're all human. And I wanted to talk to you today about how that plays out. Because when I first started going to my non-denominational walk and accepted Christ into my life, and I was all about the church, you know, it's like the sun beaming down on me and the angels were singing and all this stuff. And then I got involved behind the scenes, you know, right. A little bit of worship, a little bit of admin, teaching classes. I was teaching divorce care for kids and these children's classes. And I saw the admin part of it.
Right.
And I saw the business part of church. And then I'm like, well, that, duh. I mean, of course, it has to operate like a business. It was fascinating to me because I always thought church, everybody walked around with a permagrin like they ate a banana sideways. Okay. They're always smiling. They're blessed right. by the Holy Spirit and nobody argues.
Right. Right? I don't know if we ever experienced that world here on earth. I think the reality is Christian people have disagreements. We are all created different and we all have different parts of our personality that we don't always connect to everyone. And you know that many guys just like yourself make millions and millions of dollars teaching personality tests and traits and be on purpose because we want to find our strengths, but we also want to find out who we can connect to. Recently, I heard they're starting to do personality profiles and testing like this, even to interview for a pastor They want to see, is this the kind of pastor that connects with the majority of our people, and is it a complimentary personality?
Well, that makes sense, but, you know, because you don't want a piece of dry toast up there giving a sermon. I mean, you, right, want to, you want to inspire the congregation. But when you work in different departments, there are conflicts.
Sure.
But yet, my thought is, my naive, you know, short in my walk type of thought is, well, you're all Christians, dude. Get along. Right. I mean, don't you read your Bible? Why would you ever fight with a fellow Christian and trying to like negotiate with one department, a finance department, with the worship department? You only have this much to spend, Shane, on the Christmas musical. Don't overspend. Or,
right,
you know, why does somebody get this type of equipment in their department and another person doesn't?
You know, I think there's definitely ownership issues that happen in any kind of work-related area. You know, you think somebody else is getting something better than you, and the humanness of us comes out. I think the responsibility that we have as believers is, how do we resolve that conflict in a biblical manner? It doesn't mean that we have to lay down and let them walk all over us, or
but Jesus did, right?
No, he didn't. And he definitely let people, you know the truth, and the truth is definitely the most important part. But the reality is, some people aren't going to believe your truth as truth. And someone once told me, and this is a little bit deep for our discussion, but
we're all about it, dude.
There you go.
We're this, so deep here.
I love this. I've thought about this a lot, but we have to live in the reality of the truth that we are. Mm-hmm. And eventually people will see that as truth too. And I think it's pretty powerful.
Can you say that again?
If we live in the reality of the truth that we are.
Right.
Then others soon will see that as truth too.
And
sometimes we can't convince people that we're right. We can't convince people that we are, that our way is a better way. But when we live it out and we show by example, then eventually they see that as truth, and it's their reality too. There's no way around it. And I think that plays out in a lot of things. But, you know, even as a pastor for me, there's times where somebody comes and asks a question to me and I completely disagree. So first I have to see, is it my responsibility in whatever it is, mm-hmm, to correct them? Or there's a principle that someone told me years ago at a leadership conference about thinking gray. Have you and I talked about this, Sam?
No.
So, you know, if someone came in and said, Shane, the building is on fire, my first reaction has to be, is it my responsibility right now to do something about it? Do I need to go down and help put it out? Am I supposed to call the fire department? Or there has to be a moment where I think gray. It can't be panic. It can't be passivity. It has to be just gray, right in the middle. And I have to say, at this moment, I have to think, what is my role that the church is on fire? And because often we come against conflict like that, and we immediately think it's our job to resolve it for that person, and or it's my job to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
And every time I've ever walked into that fire, mm-hmm, literally, or line of fire, I am always wrong. And not that my truth isn't right, but I always end up wrong because it's not always my place to just jump into something and prove something just because I know it to be wrong. And so I think that's a really important lesson that I've learned. So I have to evaluate, what's my role in it? What am I supposed to do? And then what is the best way that Jesus would be pleased in me reacting to this situation? Meaning, is it my job to call them down, to belittle that person? That would never really be what Jesus would want to do.
You don't strike me as someone that does that, though.
So it would have to be something that I would feel, and am I confident in that area that they're struggling? Because if I'm not, I am also the person at that moment that can say, here's somebody that can help you resolve this issue. Mm. And I can help network that person to the right the right avenue. It doesn't have to necessarily be a counselor, but if there's somebody else that I know that knows the situation that they're walking through, I can direct them there and not have to handle it myself, even though they might have come with me against the conflict.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, those are great biblical principles. You know, of that, a kind of a sub thought of that that comes to my mind is gossip.
Right.
Because when you talk about conflict, a lot of the time it's you think somebody said something. Maybe they did or didn't say. You don't know it to be true. So then you have to confront that person. Some of us are good at that. I'm terrible at it because I just go right at it. Mm-hmm. Hey, did you say this about me? You know, as opposed to how you're supposed to methodically work. What's the Bible say? And I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I think it worked. What's the Bible say about gossip?
I mean, gossip is definitely a sin. And, you know, the Bible says a lot about our responsibility of words. And we're responsible for the words that come out of our mouths. And I think speaking truth, there's principles of if you have a conflict with someone, you're to go to that person directly. If that's not resolved between the two of you, then you bring another person involved that could help resolve, but you do that in front of that person you have conflict with. And that person, if they can't resolve it, you go to the church and the church comes. I mean, there's different steps.
So let me back up and dive into one. How do you approach somebody? Because this is conflict. This is you can't move forward in any business relationship if you don't trust somebody. True?
You're right. I mean, trust is foundational.
So how would you, like if I said something, if you think I said something about you and we were working together, not even working together, we're just, you know, we're Christians. How would you approach me?
So I'd say, Sam, you and I need to have coffee or have a discussion. When do you have time? I might text you. I would never do it over an email. I think it's cowardless. Mm-hmm.
Cowardly.
Yeah, cowardly. Thank you. I'm thinking, I saw the that didn't look sound right.
But I'm sitting here nodding my head.
Yeah,
I know exactly.
Thanks. Yeah. Cowardly. Cowardless would be brave.
Yes.
So if I called you, I'd say, hey, let's have coffee. And the first thing I have to do is say, Sam, I need to ask you, did you say this about me?
What if I said, hey, what's it about before we have coffee?
I would have to say, I need to talk to you about some things that I'm hearing.
Well, let's just talk about it right now.
I think it would be best face-to-face.
Okay. That always gets me, like, even right now, I get all, like, bummed up.
Well, yeah. Because we all have had situations like that in our workplace or anything where if our boss or our superior says, hey,
you got a minute? It was always like,
and
hey,
you go,
got a minute.
What is this regarding? Well, I'll tell you when you get here.
I hate that.
Ouch.
Come on. Tell me now.
You know, and I think you also have the opportunity in this. If you don't want to meet with me, you can say, I don't feel comfortable doing that unless I know what the topic is. And I've learned that too. That's a great method to get a heads up on what's going down in that meeting.
Nobody wants to be ambushed.
And you say, hey, you know what? I don't feel comfortable meeting or taking my time to do that unless I know what you're taking my time for.
Yeah.
And I've had to say that. And those are hard emails or texts because we're talking about, is there something here that you're bringing? The way that you asked for that meeting is unusual to anything you've ever asked me for before.
That's it, because you don't always communicate in that context. Yeah. It's always like, hey, what's going on? You want to grab coffee? Let's talk about it. It's not, hey, I'd like to grab coffee. I want to be extremely vague until we get there, you know?
And I think it's a valuable conversation on both parts to have face to face. I think we say a lot more on email or texting that we would never say in real life. And
it's internet muscles, man. Everybody flexes them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We hide behind the keyboard. And I think there's great realities and truth that come when you meet face to face. So because we all face these things, one of the things I'd say is, did you say this? And then I have to be willing, as a believer, I have to be willing that I'm coming for a point of resolving this, not for to throw mud back in their face.
Yeah.
Because if I do, then the conversation's going to escalate. I can say, you know, you've caused damage. You know, you've caused damage to my trust in you. You've caused damage to the people that you told, and now I will never really get that back. And that's something I'm going to have to work on, but we need to stop this.
What if I'm lying and you know I'm lying?
Then I'm going to say, Sam, I don't believe you.
Ooh. Ouch.
You have to say that.
Have you ever had to say that?
I have had to say that. But then I'm going to say, I need to have somebody else with me to talk to you the next time.
We're done, dude.
Exactly.
I'm not coming
back.
And
you may never want to speak to me again, but if you're in a work relationship, you have to.
According to who?
Because your boss, it is for productivity, the two of you are going to have to get along. So many times when I worked under pastors, they would call me and somebody else together who had a conflict with me, or somebody from the church even that said they didn't like the songs I sang or
It sounds like you're always fighting with
people. Worship wars are horrible in the church.
Worship wars. That should be a reality show, man.
There you go. It is.
Worship wars.
It is. Yeah. And unfortunately, it shows some of the ugliest side of the church, because when we talk about people's preferences, man, it runs a gamut. And people like some of the craziest things.
Explain in 30 seconds worship wars, just so people know what we're talking about.
The biggest worship war right now in church, besides... the sound of the band or the sound system or how loud it is, how soft it is, should drums be there, should drums not be there, is, you know, some people were raised like you in a Catholic church where there's liturgy and high church readings and
hallelujah.
There you go. There you go. Exactly. And then some people were raised with a rock band.
Yeah.
And, so then when those two climates come together, those two groups of people crash, it's like a thunderstorm, and they want to know. And you think, can't everyone, we're all singing about the same God, we're all doing the same thing. No, it's not my preference. And because we live in an American Idol society where we can judge everybody that stands in front of us, they want, I need you to sing my songs the way I want them sung. And worship wars of the old church is they have to come out of the book called the hymnal that has all the song, the song book.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, it's not a biblical song, which is nowhere in the Bible. it's one of the craziest things. And I love some of the old songs of the church.
Yeah.
I love that contemporary music is doing new versions of those old songs. But that tears a big divide down the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's a real sad thing. And I think literally Satan's laughing his butt off that the church can't figure it out. And
it really does sound like that. You're right. When you said that, it kind of resonated with me that nobody would be happier than the devil if Christians started infighting and the message didn't get out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It sounds makes so much sense. So two Christians are fighting back to our conversation. You address, and the reason I talk about gossip is because, and I'm glad we brought this up. We weren't even going to talk about this, but I'm glad we did, because I struggle with it. I hate gossiping. I think it's a complete time vampire. I think it's a waste. Not now. We all got our little reality show side to us.
Right.
Hey, did you hear about something? That's fun. When it gets to be not fun is when you start hurting people.
It's destructive.
It's destructive. And I could do better. I'm sure other people could do better. And we'd love to learn how to address it, because it's such a time vampire, and it just steals so much productivity, so much revenue, so much time, feelings. It's all emotional driven, right?
It takes our joy completely away. I mean, there's no joy in gossip. There's no joy in, the type of behavior that sits around tearing somebody else apart so that they could feel better. It shows an incredible insecurity level in people.
And immaturity.
Immaturity.
Insecurity,
but it also shows these people that are incredibly hurt or injured that they're not at the place in their life that they wish they were, so they're going to tear down somebody else so that they can replace them.
Yeah.
It never works.
Never works.
And they find themselves feeling lousy and usually sitting through conflict resolution meetings like we just talked about. They're that same group. And over 10 years at one church, some of the same exact people did I have those conversations with over and over, because they're habitual. They stay in that world. They like the world of backbiting
Well, look, there's two Christians right now at Starbucks gossiping.
Yeah. Oh, sure. But there's also, I mean, a world out there that thrives on the Inquirer magazine and things that some of it is so far from truth. You can't go through the grocery store and not see some of the worst tabloid gossip that some is fabricated, just like real life gossip.
Yeah.
And some is real gossip of, we celebrate people's divorces and we celebrate people's even some of the spouse abuse and things that go on. We celebrate them through reality magazines and shows, and it's really a world that is being built off of tearing down somebody else so that we might feel better. You know, the Hunger Games, I don't know if you've seen the movie, but I went to see it with my boys and they read the book, and the first movie, I thought it slapped me in the face. It was like it literally was making fun of our reality show world.
Yeah.
You know, we love to see people fight at each other till they die.
Yeah.
And I mean, they took it to extremes in the movie, but it's not too far off in a lot of what we watch and what we thrive on. So how can that not impact the way that we live every day? And the only way around that for me as a believer is it's a heart issue. Either I really care about other people's feelings or I don't. Mm-hmm. And some people are just fried in this world and they'd say, look, I could care less what everybody else thinks. I don't care about them. I only care about myself. And that to me,
it's a shallow world to live in, man.
It is a shallow world, and it's a lonely
existence. Lonely. Yeah.
And their heart is like stone. And who wants to live like that? You know, you're really not living.
No. You're dead. Let me ask you a question. I want to get towards a solution with this. You've tried to resolve conflict. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. The best case is it works, and you know, you go about and you guys are now great friends and coworkers for a long time, and you know each other. I think what comes out of it is you now know each other. You know what buttons you can press and what you can't. But let's say it never works out, and the person gets up from the meeting and they walk away and say, Shane, it ain't ever happening, buddy. I'm walking away from you. And you don't work with this person. Let's just say they're either a relative or a friend and they just walk away, you know? Because we have, you know, family comes up a lot. You know, our family. My family, Angie's family. Sometimes you just walk away and you just can't get through. It's tough because you love the person. You thought they loved you or they care about you. And I get these emails a lot. It's like, Sam, I just can't move on, man. I have so much venom inside of me for this person because they did me wrong. They know they did me wrong. They're either a family or a close acquaintance of mine. How do you move on? And because you know you can't change it. How do you sleep at night? How do you function during the day without letting it consume you?
Well, this is kind of a flashback to our discussion on forgiveness. But in that moment, to say more about the resolving of the conflict, I do believe we just have to do our very best, our part, in helping resolve the conflict. That's what we're responsible for, is we are moving forward. We can't be responsible for the other person's response.
But they're still out there saying those things about
me. They are. You know what? And that it is incredibly hurtful. I have those experiences in my life. I have them presently right now. And they can be haunting, but I have to surrender them every day to God. I have to say, God, you're going to have to help me with that. You're going to have to help me let go of.
When do you say this? In the morning, during the day, at night? Like, do you talk to God often about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like all of the above. And sometimes when it comes to my mind, because the enemy knows that that's a tender spot in us and in our personalities. And I love people and I want people to love me.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't happen, you know, I have to say that's not what I'm called to do. It's just something that I really like. And God wants me to do my best. Have I done my best to resolve that conflict? Because I also have three kids that are watching. Yeah. How has Dad tried to resolve conflict? How am I trying to resolve conflict with them as a dad? And am I going to them, speaking to them in love and trying to work for a resolution? Even after maybe I lost it or blew it with them, I have to go to them and say, look, we need to work this out. I need to apologize for whatever I did, but with my kids I can say, and I need you to apologize.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have had to say that with an adult and they've said, never. Right. I'll never apologize to you.
Because they don't think they were wrong.
Right. And as long as there's no, but when they get up from that table and they say it's over, I have to be sure that I've said.
But they're a Christian, man.
Exactly.
They're not allowed to do that. If they really believe, here's my biggest
problem. They're not. But
the Bible says they cannot get up from that conversation without resolving it and forgiving you. You're supposed to forgive your enemies.
And the Bible and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will have to do the work on that person. I can't be responsible. At that moment, I have to be responsible for myself.
And but that's my whole point. The Holy Spirit should be in them because they're a believer.
Right on.
Or they're not.
You're right on. Well, Again, I wish I could make that happen.
You have to. You're a pastor. You have to make it.
But the
best. That's no point. The hypocritical part about Christians is, I've got the Holy Spirit. This same person is out there right now saying, I'm going to pray for you. It means nothing.
Right.
How can they pray for somebody and expect that God to answer their prayers when they can't even sit across from you at a Starbucks and resolve a simple issue?
Right.
I don't get it, man.
You know what? And I will tell you, I don't either. And I'm a pastor. I leave and I go, what do I do? But I have to leave and say, I did my best and I laid it all on the line. I've even said sorry for things I didn't even know what I was saying sorry for.
Right.
And yet I was willing to go and lay down first my own pride to say sorry for something. So and if I can go as far as I can still not make that other person forgive or resolve conflict. Instead, I have to say, I did my very best. And at this point, this is the next step that I would say in this is, I have to then surrender it. I did that.
Yeah.
I did my part. Now, I may be called a year later to revisit that again.
Yeah, yeah.
And make myself available to do that again. Because if I really genuinely meant it now, I have to mean it in 2 years, even after my heart gets really hardened towards that person. I have to still be willing to lay down my my pride and say, look, I'm still available for reconciliation.
Yeah,
I'm still available.
I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could reach out to somebody.
We can't, Sam. Yeah. We can't do that. It's seriously the power of the Spirit in us that has to help us do that. And if I don't believe that, then my life becomes that cold-hearted, stone-hearted person that's lack of joy, lack of peace. And every day I'm consumed with the fire of that person not being willing to resolve the conflict with me. And I can't do that. I can't live my life like that. And God even gives instruction in this that if we carry that away from there, that's literally unforgiveness in us, that we have done as bad as that other person is doing to us, we've done that same sin. Mm-hmm. And that is a heaviness.
That's tough.
It's heavy.
It's tough, dude. But like I would want to text someone right now and say, are you still an a-hole?
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
But see, because you know.
But I can't do that, I don't think.
You have to know. And I bet there's listeners right now that as they're listening to this, they're thinking, wow, that's exactly what's going on in my life. I'm
everybody has it. Everybody.
Exactly. I'm holding that kind of anger towards that person that was 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. I had one of my my relatives, I won't be too detailed on that, that talked about an unforgiveness of a childhood cousin that came over to their house and did something at their house. And when I heard them speaking of this event that happened 30 years ago, I went, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're holding on to something that happened when you were kids. Yeah. And that guy wasn't even 14 years old. And you're walking around mad at that family member. Mm-hmm. And those are the kind of stupid things that we get ourselves stuck in.
Right.
We've got to lay it down and move on.
Move on.
And because there's a whole life to live and we don't need the anchor holding us down anymore. I mean, and when you let go of it and you realize, wow, I can move from this, it's a powerful thing. You know, the song that Matthew West has right now on forgiveness, it says, no one deserves it.
Yeah.
The opening verse is so cool. No one deserves it. And yet it sets the prisoner free. And then the song turns and says, and then you realize the prisoner was you.
Yeah.
And I've thought of that over and over. We've just got to be willing to lay it down. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. It's that we have the ultimate forgiveness we celebrate here in a week with Easter. Christ laid it all on the cross for us so we can move forward. And it's the ultimate forgiveness. And if we will never have to forgive, this is another heavy one, we'll never have to forgive somebody else more than what Christ has already forgiven us.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's true. You and I are doing a small group study on Rick Warren, and we won't get into that. I know we don't have time, but it's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Thinking about Jesus dying on the cross. You know, if there were an iPhone around now and Jesus rose from the dead, that would probably be the most viewed YouTube video.
I think it would be trending. In fact, it's been trending for thousands of years. So you
know
there you go.
There you go. You know what would be wild is there would be a segment of the population that would dislike. You know how you give a thumbs up or a thumbs down on YouTube?
I know.
There would be a segment of the population that would give a thumbs down to Jesus rising from the dead.
Can you see it on the Today Show? Carson Daly's over in their new network, Orange Room. Hey, Jesus just rose from the grave, and I just want you to know it's got 5,000 tweets. And
You know what's wild, though, is if Kim Kardashian were available that morning the same time, they would have her on prior to Jesus rising from the dead. That's the society we live in right now. I mean, I think that
now we're being incredibly cynical of the world that we live in.
We're allowed. We're human. We can ask for forgiveness, right? I mean, we can gossip about Kim Kardashian and then just ask for forgiveness. That's right.
Ouch.
Now, this was a good discussion. We originally, Shane and I were chatting before the show. I make Shane come unscripted to the show. We don't want to have an outline or anything to talk about. It probably shows too much. But it's a couple of guys at Starbucks talking about the Bible, Jesus Christ, having faith, God, how it works in your life, and being a Christian. And we have no pretense, no agenda other than to just chat it up for 30 minutes. And I think we did a good job today just talking about starting out with conflict. There's no difference in conflict in the church as there is in regular corporate America, as there is in relationships, and work that into gossip, which is a complete time vampire, a relationship killer, and a subsegment of that conflict, because it usually stems from, hey, did you really say that, or do you really think that? And, you know, you get all this stuff that doesn't even matter, man.
Right.
You know, what matters is that we're here for a short period of time on earth, and we do the best we can with what we have to work with.
Hey, Sam, as we are closing this out, I would just say, everybody out there, if you'll pray for Sam and I that we're able to lay it down, I will be praying that you'll be able to lay it down and move on to a new place in life. Put it behind you.
Yeah, let it go. And we've said let it go a few times on the show, but I don't think you can say it enough, man. I think it is one of the demons, and I think you're right, Satan using that to divide good Christians in their walk. So Shane Harden, thank you so much for showing up once again on our Spiritual Sunday podcast. Last week we did the show. I had 4 more teeth in my mouth. Now they've been I feel amazing, man.
Awesome.
Amazing. It's the power of prayer right
there. You go.
I know you and Matt were praying for me going through that surgery. I do have a wake-up video that I'm never going to show. Ant took of me. It's like 20 seconds.
Now you're going to have people going, post it.
Oh, they've already have been saying that. Post that wake-up video. It's the reality show we live in, man, the society. Hey, man, thanks. We'll do it again next Sunday, okay?
That's right.
All right. Hey, everybody, Sam Crowley for Pastor Shane Harden at Branches Church. You can check him out at branchischurch.us. And, of course, you can head on over to everydayisaturday.com. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.